Boker Tov, it's Monday again.
Wow, we really are close.
It is November. It is Sefer Zecharia.
Yes, you said, I love this weather because it's not Chicago weather.
It's gorgeous.
Cold and snowy.
Yes, I know. It was snowing in Chicago last Friday.
And I'm not being here
tonight.
Only
if
not Monday.
I said it already.
But I'm always early.
Yes, okay. Chicago is beautiful. It's just a bit chilly. Okay, come on, guys. We don't want to talk about Chicago.
Okay.
We want to talk about Zecharia. Okay, and so we were talking about, in Perek Yudalit and Zecharia, we were talking about all of the different changes that were going to take place in the world at this time, which, remember, we were having trouble last week because of Marcel, who was questioning whether this was really the times of Mashiach that we're talking about, or whether it's some later time, you know, in other words, whether it's really the time of Triat HaMetim. We're talking about basically the time that the world will live in peace. V'haya b'yamu Hashem echad. Hashem will be one, ushmo echad. We talked about that, right? And all of the earth, did we do Pasuk Yud? My people who we did Pasuk Yud, that all of the... Okay, well, so we'll just thank you. We'll just review. It's going to be like a plane. In other words, the mountains will be straightened out a little bit in the area of Yerushalayim. It'll be straightened out. And we were told, Migev Arimon Negev Yerushalayim, from south of Yerushalayim all the way to Sha'ar Binyamin, which is in the north. And people will live there. In other words, the city will expand and grow, the city of Yerushalayim, and they will live there lavetach, right, in security. And then we started describing the magefa, this terrible magefa that would come upon the people that surrounded Yerushalayim in the last war of Gog and Magog, in which basically their flesh would melt. While they're on their feet, their flesh is going to melt, their tongue is going to stick in their mouths, there's going to be terrible confusion, and every man is going to try to hold on to the hand of his fellow man, not knowing if it's an enemy or if it is somebody on his own side. And Yehuda, that was the last pasuk, now I remember. Yehuda will also fight. And remember, there was a disagreement of opinion as to whether Yehuda was going to fight along with the people of Yerushalayim, because the people that are surrounding Yerushalayim will be helped by the people welcomed from Yehuda, or whether Yehuda would be forced to fight by the enemy. Meaning the people outside of Yerushalayim will be forced to fight against Yerushalayim by the enemy. In other words, terrible, terrible, terrible confusion as to who's fighting, terrible deaths. However, we didn't do Pasuk Tetvav. One more, I see. One more Pasuk of the Magefa. V'chein tihiyeh Magefat Hasus. HaPered, HaGamal, VaHaChamor. Not only human beings are going to suffer from this magefa at the end of the time that we know of as the normal time of the world, but this magefa, this plague, would also hit the horses, the mules, right? The camels, the animals, and the donkey. V'chol ha-be'ema asher yeh b'machanot ha-hema ka-magefa hazot. And any animals that were brought with the enemy troops will also be struck by this plague. I just did Tedvav. And that is the end of that discussion. We now go into the last topic. So basically what we were learning is the different cataclysmic changes in the world, and then this magefa that is going to strike the people who have come, who have massed on Yerushalayim in the last battle of Gog and Magog, and how all of them are going to be, almost all of them are going to be destroyed. The reason I just changed and said almost all of them, because the next pasuk tells us about the remnants. And it means all of the remnants, all of the human beings, all of the members of the other nations. That's what we're talking about. And this, my friends, it's the end of Sefer Zechariah. Okay? Vahaya, and it's going to be Kol hanotar mikol goyim habaim al Yerushalayim, all of those who remain from those who came, who attacked Yerushalayim, baim al, who came to make war on Yerushalayim, va'alu midei shana b'shana, you hear? They're going to come up every year lehishtachavot lamelech Hashem Tzvakot, to bow down to the King, God of hosts, v'lachog et chag hasukot.
They're doing it already.
And to, so that's why they come, my dear, that's why they come. That's why the evangelists come.
They come during Sukkot for the prayer.
They come during Sukkot because they know that at the end of the world, everybody's supposed to come on Chag HaSukkot to celebrate. And if you're wondering why Dafka Chag HaSukkot, then let me read it to you. I want to read you from the Malbim, Pasuk Tet Zayin, V'haya Kol HaNotar, and it will be that all those remaining, Ya'alu Tamid, will come on a regular basis, B'chag HaSukkot Yerushalayim. On Chag HaSukkot Yerushalayim, Ki Mapalat Gog Tiye B'chag HaSukkot. Because the fall of Gog, the victory over Gog and Magog, is going to take place on Sukkot.
Wow.
So it will be a regular celebration. There's another reason they're going to come too, wait. But it will be a regular celebration of the fact that the great victory over the forces of Gog and Magog will be on Sukkot. V'ya'alu l'chol kachag, so all the nations will come up to Yerushalayim to celebrate l'zichron hanes shenaseh b'yom ahu, to remember the nes, the great miracle that was done on that day. What is the miracle that was done? I want to remind you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself fought. Remember, he Hashem said, I'm coming to fight against all of you. And there was this terrible magefa. Yerushalayim was saved. The Harez Etim split. All of these things. So in memory of these nisim, the nifla'ot that happened at that time, everybody's going to celebrate Chag HaSukkot. Vahaya Asher lo ya'aleh me'et mishpachot ha'aretz el Yerushalayim lehishtachavot lamelech Hashem Tzvakot. Talk about a run-on sentence. And it will be that if any of the people will not come up to Yerushalayim on Sukkot to bow down to Hashem, God of hosts, v'lo aleihem yehiyeh geshem.
Wow.
If they don't come on Sukkot to celebrate and bow down, it means recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion over the entire world, then they're not going to have rain. Lo aleihem yeh geshem. One lesson that we have is the essence of Chag HaSukkot is that tefillah that we say on Shmini Atzeret Geshem. It is the mark of the time that we daven for rain. So there won't be rain if anybody doesn't come up. V'im mishpachat Mitzrayim lo ta'ala. And if the family of Mitzrayim won't go, why is Mitzrayim singled out?
They think they're excluded because they have the Nile.
They think that they don't need rain.
they don't get rain.
They might think even at that time that they don't need rain, because in Mitzrayim the Nile rises, overflows its banks, and waters the land. So if Mishpachat Mitzrayim lo ta'alef, they're not going to come up v'lo ba'ah, v'lo aleihem, and they will not come, and there will be others that don't come as well. Tihyeh ha-magefa, there's going to be a magefa again on them. Asher yigof Hashem et ha-goyim, asher lo ya'alu l'chog et chag ha-sukot. There's going to be another magefa on them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to plague all of the nations, not just Mitzrayim, but all of the nations that will not come up on HaChag HaSukkot. Yes. Lo Aleihem, but there is Lo Aleihem with a, if you look in the text, it has a etnachta right there. Lo Aleihem. Lo Aleihem tiyeh magefa, what that would mean, that they're not going to get the magefa. So let me read it to you. Ve'im mishpachat Mitzrayim lo ta'ala. I'm going to read you a friend, right? A good friend that always helps us. Shehem einam trichim l'kshamim. They don't need geshem. Ve'hem hayu min ha'umot she'alu im gog. And they were among the nations that came up with gog, right? But, B'Yechezkel, in other words, as we see, K'nemar in Yechezkel, V'ra'u onshei Hashem v'hukuaz v'magefa. In other words, they saw what Hashem could do, because they came up with gold. They saw how a Kadosh Baruch Hu could punish. Az yihyeh onsham sheyachzor aleihem ha'magefa sheinit. Then their punishment will be that magefa that happened to the people that came up on Yerushalayim will come back on them. Va'oz k'shetachzor ha-magefa bishvil Mitzrayim. And when the magefa, when this plague will come from Mitzrayim, tichlol gam yeter ha-umot shelo ba'u l'Yerushalayim. It'll include any of the other nations that didn't come to Yerushalayim. V'titpashet ha-magefa gam aleihem. And the magefa will spread on them. V'lo yaspik onesh miniyat ha-geshem levad. Sorry. And the punishment of the withholding of the rain won't be the only punishment. V'lo aleihem, we could perhaps say, Geshem won't fall on them. In other words, the punishment will be not just that Geshem won't fall on them, but also a terrible magefa if they think that they don't need to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rain. For all good, Shefa. Remember the Malbim used that word Shefa in some of the psukim we were doing last week. I want to do the pshat. Tell me your name again. I'm sorry, I can't remember. Sorry?
Barry.
Yes, I should have remembered. I want to do the mitsudo just to get the pshat, okay? Lo ta'ale v'lo ba'a. Lo ta'ale v'lo ba'a, the beginning of the pasuk. Hu kefel inyan. It's just doubling it, right? V'lo aleihem. Lo ta'ale v'lo ba'a v'lo aleihem. Ratzalomar shelo aleihem yurad hageshem kol hashanim. In other words, what he's saying is, if Mishpachat Mitzrayim doesn't come, because they don't think that they need rain to fall on them, so they don't care about the rain because they don't need it. They say they don't need it, then they're going to have the magefa. Pasuk Yudtet, Zotiyeh Chatat Mitzrayim, V'chatat Kol HaGoyim Asher Lo Ya'alu L'Chog Et Chag HaSukkot. This is going to be the sin of Mitzrayim, and the sin of all the nations that will not come up to celebrate Chag HaSukkot.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the sin, they won't get rain, and what else? And a magefa will fall on them if they don't come. There's a famous discussion at the end of Gemara Sukkot, where all the nations come up to Mitzrayim to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to ask for rain. And they say, Rabbeinu Shlom, it's not fair. What's not fair? You know, you didn't even give us a chance. You should have given us the mitzvot like you gave to Am Yisrael. And then we would have also been able to do the right thing on a regular basis. So the Rabbeinu Shalom says to them, you know, I have a really nice mitzvah. Ba'otzarai, I'm going to give you a really nice mitzvah. It fits because you're coming here anyway. I'm going to give you the mitzvah of Basukot Teshvu, Shivat Yamim, okay? I'm going to give you a mitzvah. You're going to sit in the Sukkot and the nations say, good. We'll show you we're going to do this mitzvah. And so the nations that come up to Yerushalayim to Davin, they all make Sukkot and they go to sit in the Sukkah. And the Rabbeinu Shalom sends a Ruach Sa'ara. And it starts thundering and lightning and raining. And the Jews... And the Jews are sitting in the Sukkah because the rain isn't coming down so hard. And all of the Goyim are saying, forget it. We're going to go into our nice warm houses. And it says in the Gemara that they kick the Sukkot and they fall down and they say, it's okay. Leave things, you know, turn back. Leave things the way they were. In other words, they're not going to take the mitzvot. That's the point of the story. They're not going to take the story in the Gemara, the Agadita. They're not going to take on the mitzvot. What they are going to do is they are going to recognize by Yom Hui Hashem Echad, and they are going to come to Yerushalayim once a year on Chag HaSukkot to recognize the kingship and the eternity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two more psukim. By Yom Hahu, Yihyeh al Mitzilat Hasus Kodesh Lashem. I love this. On that day, on the rains, not the rains, the things that you tie, I guess it's part of the rains, that you tie around the horses so that you can
leave.
Bridle
horses?
Bridle.
No, he said rain, so we thought Geshen.
No, rains, R-E-I-G-N. Thank you, Martha.
The bridle,
that's better. The
R-E-I-N.
But this is really the bridle. You are right. On the bridle of the horses, it'll say Kodesh Lashem. Well, even the horses will be dedicated to doing Avodat Hashem in Yerushalayim.
Bumper sticker.
Bumper sticker, Nachon Yafeh. Bumper sticker. Or, in a slightly more elevated sense, think about the Kohen Gadol, who has Kodesh Lashem written here. So just like the Kohen Gadol walks around identified all the time as being the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the horses in Yerushalayim will be identified, right, as being Kodesh Lashem. V'haya hasirot b'veit Hashem kamizrakim lifnei ha-mizbeach. And all of the bowls, the sirot are the bowls, will be like the mizrakim, which are the utensils that collect the blood of the karbanot before the mizbeach. In other words, there's going to be so many karbanot that people will bring that there won't be enough mizrakot. They are going to have to use every kind of utensil that they can find in the Beit HaMikdash. And everything is going to be proper because look in Chaf Aleph, V'hayakol Sir B'Yerushalayim U'V'Yehuda Kodesh Lashem Tzvakot. And every pot in Yerushalayim and Yehuda will be set aside, designated for Hashem Tzvakot. U'ba'u kol azovchim v'lakumehem. And anybody that's coming in to bring their karbanot to Yerushalayim will be able to go borrow a pot from any house. A, they'll be able to borrow it, and B, they'll be able to use it because it will be kodesh. And they'll borrow them from the people and cook in them. V'lo yihyeh k'na'ani od b'veit Hashem tzvakot b'yom ahu. And I want to remind you that in the Torah and in the Navi, when it says k'na'ani, it doesn't mean a person from the nation of K'na'an. It means a merchant. V'chagor natna l'k'na'ani in the Eshet Chayil. She sells a belt, she's making her things, the Eshet Chayil, and she sells it to the merchant to make money. So here there are not going to be any more merchants in Yerushalayim. You know why? Because animals will not be bought and sold. Animals will be given. In other words, all of the people will come, and the farmers will bring their animals, and they'll come down on Har HaZeitim, and there'll be enough animals for everybody. There'll be no need for foreign merchants to come in. By Yom Ha'u, on that day again, that those big words by Yom Ha'u. So Zechariah ends his incredible Sefer. I love it. I love Zechariah. I really think it is an incredible Sefer. He ends his Sefer with this Halcyon, a picture of Yerushalayim at the times of Mashiach, where everything will be Kodesh, where there will be a huge area for people to live. The compound of the Beit HaMikdash itself is going to be huge, because remember that Har HaZeitim has split and it has leveled out, so that you have, here is Har HaBayit, and then this whole area is Kodesh, and on this mountain, which is spread out, that's where the people will live. All of it will be Kadosh. Everybody will come, all of the nations will come on Chag HaSukkot, and it will be permissible for them to borrow pots, because there won't be enough Mizrakim in the Beit HaMikdash. And everybody will need to use the pots, and the pots will be Kodesh. And even the horses, everything in Yerushalayim will be Kadosh by Yom Ha'u. Yes?
I think this is line that they won't need it.
Beautiful. Yerushalayim harim savivla.
And
it says v'Hashem saviv la'amo. In other words, the hills are around, but Hashem is.
And the access to Jerusalem.
Well, that's what we believe, don't we? The people that settled in Har Etzion and all those that they were protecting. That was the purpose. But in the future, beautiful, that I like what you said, in the future of Kodesh Baruch, we don't need the mountains around Yerushalayim, because Hashem is those mountains. Whew. Deep breath. Everybody breathing?
Let's go back to Sukkot.
No, let's not go back to Sukkot. Next year. We'll go forward to Malachi.
For now, we stand up.
Okay, we can say Chazak. Chazak, absolutely. Chazak, and chazak. And yes, and may we do another, one more Navi we have, wow. And then we can start all over again. At any rate, Malachi is very definitely the last Navi. There is no question that Malachi is the last Navi. He tells us very clearly that he's the last Navi. And we understand from Chazal that Malachi probably lived once the Beit HaMikdash was built and established already. He probably lived about 50 years after the time of Zechariah. He lived at a time when it was already evident that the times of the Beit HaMikdash were not exactly going to be the times of Mashiach. He is going to sum up what he sees wrong in a very, very unusual way. He's going to do it in a dialogue form. All of Malachi is a dialogue. He says something and he says, and perhaps you will then say. In other words, the dialogue, well, it comes from him, but he says, I'm telling you this, and then you're going to say. I'm telling you this, and then you're going to say. You're going to ask. I'm telling you this, etc. His nevuah is called masa, a burden, a difficult nevuah. It's very interesting what the Malbim, I think it's the Malbim, or is it? No, it's Rashi. I want to read you what Rashi says, okay? And just before we do that, though, I do want you to know the name Malachi can be a name, or it could also be my messenger, Malachi. And there is in the Gemara opinion, an opinion, that Malachi is actually Ezra. It's a little bit far-fetched because Ezra is never called a Navi. Ezra is not listed as any Navi. Ezra is Ezra HaSofer. Nevertheless, because of the time element and because the problems that Ezra sees when he comes to Eretz Yisrael himself are the same problems that Malachi is going to describe, because of the similarity and the problems, then Chazal say that perhaps it was the same person. They came, the Beit HaMikdash was already built. Both Ezra and Nehemiah, the Beit HaMikdash is built. Now, when we just finished Zechariah, the Beit HaMikdash was built. Ezra didn't come yet. See, we have to learn Ezra and Nehemiah, we will. You're getting confused.
Yes.
Okay, let me try to a little bit. I know that there is, can you hear me, by the way? I know that there's some confusion about this. Please remember that, and I can't give you now years, because if I don't prepare, I'm gonna mess up. So it might be a little fuzzy. Please remember that when Cyrus the Great, Koresh, gave permission, he became king of Persia, right? When the first Dariavish died, his father-in-law, that was the clever way that Koresh got to be the emperor, because he married the daughter of Dariavish I, clever. At any rate, he gave permission to Am Yisrael to return to Eretz Yisrael. He said, God has told me that I'm supposed to build a house for him in Yerushalayim Asher B'Yehuda. He gave permission at that time, a delegation of only 24,000 people went back to Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Yehoshua. Remember all of those prakim with Yehoshua standing in front of the Beit Din Shalmala, if he deserves to be Kohen Gadol. Then if you remember some of our good neighbors, we always had good neighbors, decided to, Malshin, to accuse us to Koresh of really planning a rebellion and not just building. And so the work on the Beit HaMikdash was stopped for, I think, about 14 years. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Haggai and Zechariah to tell the people, that's what we've just been learning, to tell the people, start building. Why are you living in houses if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have his house? Start building now. And what happened is, once again, our neighbors went to the new king, who is Dariavesh Hasheni, the son of Ahasuerus and Esther, according to Chazal. And he found the permission that Koresh had given, and he allowed them to build. And not only did he allow them to build, but he sent money. Remember all the stuff? He sent money, and he said, anybody who doesn't send money is not a good citizen, etc., etc. Many years later, we will learn it be'ezrat Hashem. I am assuming that what we're going to do when we finish Malachi, which don't think is going to happen tomorrow. Not tomorrow. It'll take us a little while, not as long as Zechariah, because it's not as confusing. It's not as overwhelming as Zechariah. Zechariah is overwhelming. But at any rate, I'm assuming we'll do Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and that will give us a much better historical picture of the time. We'll really finally begin to understand the time. We also have to remember where the Purim story comes in. In other words, we have to remember everything that's poured in to this time that we're living in. As a matter of fact, in order, and maybe I'll confuse you a little more, there's another opinion in the Gemara that says that this Malachi is Mordechai.
Yeah, I got it down here.
Yes. In other words, Mordechai, we're talking about, or Mordechai would have been a very old man already, but that's okay. He's capable. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, we have all these things, but there's something interesting here that I like in this Rashi. Okay, did we sort of straighten that out a little bit? And we'll get better with our history as we go on. We definitely will. The whole beginning of Bayit Sheni is beginning to open up for us. Which, by the way, I think is a very important thing for us to really see more clearly. Remember the horses at the beginning of Zechariah? Remember the Perek Aleph and Zechariah with the horses, and it was Alexander the Great coming?
Yeah.
All those things. Anyway, Masa Dvar Hashem El Yisrael Biyad Malachi. Masa, this is a kind of nevuah that's called a masa, a burden. The word of Hashem to Yisrael in the hand of Malachi. And Rashi likes that in the hand. He's very interested in that in the hand. Not in the mouth, in the hand. And so he says, after a bala'az on the word malachi, a masa, which I purport.
Like report.
Like a report, I don't know. Davar hanimsar lamalachi laseit oto el b'nei Yisrael. I don't remember Rashi saying this on the prakim in Yeshayahu that are called Masa. In other words, we have had this Masa before, and yet for some reason Rashi stops at this, which is like the introduction to the whole Navi, all three prakim, and he says it's called a Masa because it's something that's given for him to carry. You'll see why he's saying this. And take it, give it over to B'nai Yisrael. And why does it say Biyad, given in his hand?
You carry,
you have to carry your hand. Kvar haya masur biyado, zeyamim rabim. It was put in his hand many days ago. Zeh Yamim Rabim, many years ago, because when the Navi says Yamim, it very often is years. Mikan Darshu Rabotenu Bibraita de Mechilta. From here, our rabbis explained in a Braita that's attached to the Mechilta, which is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Shmot. Shekol hanviim amdu al har Sinai. I love it. All the neviim stood on har Sinai. Visham nimsuru lahem hanevuot. And there on har Sinai they were given the nevuot. In other words, they're holding it until the time for them to speak arrives. V'chein Yeshayahu, and Yeshayahu expresses this, Omer, me'et heyota sham ani. From the time that we were there, I have my nevuah, right? V'ata Hashem Elokim shlachani. And you, Hashem, sent me from that time that we were all standing on Har Sinai. I just thought it was really interesting that all of the Nevi'im from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu got their Nevuah on Har Sinai, and it's called Masa because they're holding it until they're called, until their time comes, and they're called. I found it very interesting. You know, people, there are people who will very cruelly say, and I really don't like when they say it, that Nevi'im were a failure, and I really don't like when they say it because I think that the words of the Nevi'im are one of the things that kept us alive throughout the years. I really feel very strongly, I almost can see it. Okay, so I'm a little crazy. I really can see it. I can see my great-grandmother sitting in a little shul in Europe and listening to the Haftarah. I'm serious. I see that all those generations that came before us sat and listened to the words of the Haftorah, and when they were reading this Perek Yudalit on the first day of Sukkot, that we just finished, and it said by Yom Ha'u, everything in Yerushalayim will be Kodesh, that it gave them the strength, it gave them the energy. So the truth of the matter is, the whole idea of saying this Midrash and the Mechilta, saying that the Nevi'im all got their Nevuah and Har Sinai, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sees the world, may sofova at sofo, right? He is preparing it. He prepared it. He said, you know, Moshe, you're going to need help. It didn't just come from Moshe. Remember, Navi Kamotcha, what is it? I can't remember what he says in Parshat Pinchas to Moshe. I'm going to send Nevi'im like you, and they are going to tell the people, teach the people. They're going to tell the people what to do. And even after the time of Nevuah, if you really want to get sad, we're going to cry when we get to the end of Malachi. We're going to cry. Until we remember that we read all these words again and again and again and again. It's one of my hang-ups, and I'm not the only one. But really, to read these words again, yes, they did not get us to do tshuva. As a matter of fact, just a very quick comment. In Gemara Megillah, when it starts talking about the Nevi'im, you know how the whole idea of Nevi'im is brought up in Gemara Megillah? We are doing the Agadita on the Megillah, and we get to the famous Pasuk, Vayosar HaMelech et Tabato. The king took off his ring. What did he do when he took off his signet ring? He gave it to Haman. He said, Tatala, you want to make a law against the Jews? Be my guest. Here's a signet ring. You may make your law, seal it with the signet, right? And the Gemara then says, that removing of the signet ring did more to make Am Yisrael do tshuva than all the 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ot shenib'u lahem liYisrael. It's an unbelievable comment. It's daf yud dalad, because it's engraved. It's engraved here. Page 14, I think it's Amud Aleph, I'm not sure. I think it starts on Amud Aleph and goes into Amud Bet, where it says, that taking off the ring of Achashverosh, the threat of extinction, did more to make Am Yisrael do tshuva than all of the words of the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'ot that came to give Nevuah to Yisrael throughout the generations. Yes, but you know what? We still need them. We still need them. Because you know what?
You need something to remind you.
We need, because look at this first pasuk. Ohavti etchem, amar Hashem. Don't you need it? Mm-hmm. Don't you need that pasuk? Ahavti etchem. I have. Remember, ahavti etchem, I have loved you. It's past tense, but it doesn't mean I loved you. It means I have loved you. Amar Hashem. V'amartem. Remember, I told you it's like a dialogue back and forth. And you will say, Bama ahavtanu. Which you can translate so many different ways. Bama, how? How have you shown it? With what have you shown your love? Why do you love us? Do we know that you love us? Bama ahavtanu.
Bama,
that's good. What does Avram say? How am I going to know that my son is going to inherit me, that I'm going to have a child, right? Bama, bama avtanu. So in other words, like, what sign? How will I know? Halo ach Esav liYaakov Ne'um Hashem. Is not Esav a brother to Yaakov Ne'um Hashem? Va'ohav et Yaakov. But I loved Yaakov. We have to understand what he's saying. I want to do one more pasuk. before we look at the Mefarshim. Ve'et Esav saneti, and Esav I hated, ve'asim et harav shmama, and I am going to make his mountains desolate, ve'et nachlato litanot, and his portion, nachlato, his inheritance, litanot midbar, to a place where jackals cry in the midbar. Right? To an empty, desolate place. So in very simple language, what is he saying? This is the word that Hashem gave me in my hand to say to Yisrael. I have loved you, Yisrael. And if you're going to ask, what's the sign that you love me? How do I know that you love me? Well, I want to remind you that Esav and Yaakov were brothers. Nevertheless, I loved Yaakov, and Esav I hated, and I'm going to destroy his land totally. The idea is, I'm going to destroy your land, but you'll come back. But Esav's land will be destroyed totally. So what are we really talking about? It's not clear at all. So I want to read, here's what I was looking for before. I'm going to read first the Mitzudot, the Pshat, okay? Va'amartem, and you will say, in other words, you will say after the statement, Ahavti etchem, I have loved you, Ratza lomar. Ve'im tomru ba'meh ahavta otanu. With what have you loved us? Mipa'at atzmenu? From our own, in other words, our own merit. Mipa'at, from the side of us. In other words, did you love us because of what we are in our merit? Klomar, im ki asita imanu harbe chesed, Ein ze mipa'at ahavat atzmenu, ki im mipa'at ahavat avot v'imahot. If you've done a lot of chesed for us, we don't think it's because we deserve it ourselves. We think maybe you're saying that you've loved us from the point of view of our avot and our imahot. And so, before we go into the Malbim to clarify it, you can see that the answer to that is, if it's only because of the Avot and the Imahot, well, Yaakov was a brother to Esav. Does he not have the same Avot and Imahot? I'm sorry to shake you up about that. But. So let's look at the Malbim. Okay, I'm going to start from the beginning here. Masa, first of all. Chazal nechleku. Chazal have a difference of opinion. Mi haya hanavi hazeh. Who was this Navi really? Ula divrei kulam nitnabe achar binyan habayit. And according to the words of all of them, he gave his nevuah long after the building of the second Beit HaMikdash. And he's called the seal of the Nevi'im because he's the last one. As will be clearly, I'm telling you clearly, explained at the end of the Sefer. In other words, we know that he's the Chotam. We know that he's the seal of all the Nevuah. One moment. Ahavti etchem, the Malbim again. Mipnei sheyesh l'Hashem ahava k'duma el Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an early love for Yisrael. Mitzad ahavat avotehem. Yes, from the side of Zuchut Avot. From the side that he loves their fathers. Hodia lahem sheikar ha'ahava. So he's making known to them that the main, the ikar, the main part of the love, Huma she'ohev otam b'yichud mibli hashkef al ha'ava hakduma. Specifically them, without looking, hashkef is looking carefully, right, like this, looking over that earlier love. Shehi. Yes. Remember, it's something acharei lechtech acharei bamidbar ve'eretz lo zeruah. Yes, zacharti la chesed, the most gorgeous psukim ever written. Shehi eino mityacheset aleihem rak al avotam. He said, you can't just look, don't look at that earlier love that only can be attributed to the love that I had for your fathers. Hodiya lahem. No, I just skipped. Rega. Avolani ahavti etchem ba'atzmechem. But I love you yourselves for who you are. It doesn't mean not avat avot, but it means in addition to the love of the avot. I love you for who you are. Va'amartem ba'me'a ahavtanu. And if you're asking for what reason and why and how did you love us, mi yachriya sheha'ava hi miyucheset eleinu ba'atzmeinu? Who is going to prove that love is really ours, that we deserve it for ourselves? Uba me yivoda efo she'eino ba'avur avada avota kduma. And that it truly isn't only because of the love for the avot and imahot. Al zeh meishiv. For this he answers, halo et Esav, halo ach Esav liYaakov. Wait a minute. If we're talking about avat avot, but Esav is a brother, v'im ha'ahava hi rak ba'avur ha'avot, halo yesh chelek gam le'esav ba'ava zu. If that ava is only for the avot, then Esav should have a portion in that love. Umadua ohev rak et Yaakov. So why is the Navi saying that Hashem loves only Yaakov? Ulaval yomru sha'ava hi mishnei panim yachad. And so that they shouldn't say it's both ways together. Shohev otam ba'atzmam mitzad ma'aseihem im tseiruf ma'asei avotehem ba'avatam. That he loves them for themselves because of their actions, joining the actions of the avot and the love for them. Va'adayim lo tityaches aleihem levad rak aleihem b'tseiruf avat avotam. Al zeh meishiv. And if you're still going to say, but we still rely on the avat avot, it can't be just because of our actions, then I'm going to tell you something else. Let me add this. Et Esav sonati. Despite the fact that he comes from the same avot, the feelings that I have for Esav are sinah. That's very different. Shehagam sheyitzuyar shelo yochab et Esav mipnei shechaser et so ha'ava mitzad ma'asav. Even though you might say, okay, so it's missing. The love from his own actions is missing. Va'avat ha'avot levada lo taspik sheyehavoto rak im titzaref el zeh avato oto ba'atzmo. It's not enough. It's true that Esav had the same avot, but it's not enough for Hashem to say that he has even a little ava for him. He's using the term saneti, a very strong term. B'chol zot, halo ra'uy al kol panim, shelo yisna et Esav, אחר שיש לו קצת אהבה אליו מצד אהבת אבותיו. Don't you think that he should have a little love for Esau? Because of the fact that he loved his fathers. ועל כן שאהבה לישראל הוא רק מצד עצמותם, וזה תבטל אהבת האבות שיש לעשיו חלק בה, ויתהפך אצל עשיו לאיבה ושנאה אחר שלא הכשיר את מעשיו. If you're going to say that we should say that Esav has a little bit of love, and that his love for Am Yisrael is only because it started with the love of the Avot, then it would not be true. Because the Avot is not enough to carry on. Because Am Yisrael had to add to it by some of their ma'asem. What is the Navi saying? The Navi is saying, Ahavti etchem, all through the years for yourselves, all through the years for your actions, all through the years, no matter what went on, I had to punish you, but Ahavti etchem, I have loved you, constant, right? Present perfect, no, it's past perfect. Ahavti etchem, perfect, tamid. The form of it is a constant love. I have constantly loved you. And I want to show you that it's not just Avat Avot, that it's my love for you. It's not just Zacharti Lachesed Ne'urayich, though that's very big and very strong. It's all of the things that we learn about Am Yisrael through Medrashim throughout. We say Am Yisrael Abay Shanim. We say Am Yisrael Abalei Chesed. There's something about Am Yisrael. It is genetic, but it's not just genetic. It's something that the nation has been able to carry on. Don't start looking at individuals. And say, oh, I know somebody's not so hot. What he's saying
genetic,
is,
so it's genetic,
as a nation, I have loved you, and the proof of the fact that I have loved you for yourselves in every generation is the fact that at Esav Sanati, and I am going to make his land desolate, meaning when I punish you, you have always come back. You came back now. But when I punish Esau for his activities, Asim et Artsolish Mama, his land is going to be desolate. His land is going to have like a midbar with their jackals. Nothingness. They will not come back. And in case you think that that's not what he means, we'll do one more pasuk. Ki tomar Edom rushashnu v'noshuv v'nivneh. Oh, excuse me, I didn't stop at the right place here. Ki tomar Edom. If Edom will say, Edom is the descendants of
Esav.
Rushashnu, true, we have been destroyed. V'noshuv v'nivneh charavot. But we also can come back and build up our desolate places. Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem Tzvakot, Hema yivnu v'ani eheros. They will build and I will destroy. V'karu lahem gvul risha. And people will call them the border of evil. V'ha'am asher za'am Hashem ad olam. And the nation that Hashem has poured out his anger on forever. In other words, I'm going to destroy Edom. They will not be able to be rebuilt, and they will be known in the world as the place that Hashem punished totally because all of his anger was poured out on them, and that is going to be, that is going to be what's going to happen to them. Ve'einechem tir'ena. I'm sorry, another pasuk has to be done. Ve'einechem tir'ena, and your eyes will see. Va'atem tomru yigdal Hashem me'al l'gvul Yisrael. You will see the punishment for Esav, and you will say yigdal Hashem, Hashem is greater outside, including outside of the borders of Yisrael. In other words, you will see that Hashem is in control of the whole world, that he doesn't interact just with Am Yisrael, that he sees what's going on in the world, that he understands what's going on in the world, that all of the terrible things that Edom did through the years did not go unnoticed and will not go unpunished. Einechem tirena. You will see it. So basically, you have a part one. The part one is really very interesting. Part one is, I have loved you. I want to set the stage for everything I'm going to say, the Navi is saying. He's very aware that he is the last Navi. I am going to set the stage. The stage is, because you see, he's going to give them a lot of Musa. The stage is, I have loved you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying through the centuries. Everything that I have done for you has been sachar va'onesh. Everything they have done for you has also been to try to educate you. I have loved you and I will prove it to you. Because you will see that when I interact with other nations, I have noticed what other nations have been doing. When I interact with them, you will see that they will not be able to rebuild. You will always be able to rebuild. So that's introduction.
That's what's going on in the world.
That's introduction of Malachi to his Nevuah, 3 Prakim. He is going to cover a lot of stuff, and you can feel every second that he knows. He knows that he's the last one. He knows that the Nevuah that he's been holding, right, Biyad, Malachi, is the last Nevuah. And he feels that burden of being the last word that is direct. Direct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael. So, I can't wait to continue. Have a good week meanwhile, okay? Yes?
Rivka, even though she wasn't the Nevuah, She's the one who told Yaakov.
What a gorgeous thing you just brought up. Wow. Rivka was shown this very clearly. And the Shnei Goyim, what Bibitnech, right? Shnei Lu'umim, Mimei Ayich Yiparedu. There are 2 distinct nations that are coming out of your belly. Wow, she was given that Nevuah. She's not called a Nevuah because she didn't have to give it over.
But she clearly knew.
She was afraid to tell Yitzchak. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
That was a beautiful thing to bring up. Thank you. That was really nice. Thank you, guys. Okay, we will plod along. We will continue Bezrat Hashem. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Shenishma b'sorot tovot.